Good morning. Today is the 12th day of March 2013, and we're very grateful to be with Dr. Dalal at CARE. Dr. Dalal, when did you first hear of Sri Aurobindo?
I came here first in 1950, So I had heard about him just prior to that, maybe 48 or 49, when I was in East Africa. How was I? No. My memory is a little hazy at that point.
But around, that time?
No, before that. I think when I was in high school, when I was in high school in my teenage years, a friend of mine was interested in Sri Aurobindo. And he spoke to me about him. He was in contact with somebody living in the ashram. And it is through that person living in the ashram that I first came here for the darshan.
And that was 1954?
That was 1950.
1950. So you had Sri Aurobindo's darshan?
Right, on 24th
April. 24th
April.
I see. How old were you then?
And after 24.
You were 24 years old.
Yeah.
And it must have been a tremendous experience at that age to see him.
Well, it didn't feel like that. Outwardly, but inwardly it must have made a great change, changed the course of my life.
And did you see the mother often? Did you stay in the ashram?
At that time I came as a visitor, 1950, I first came as a visitor. You must have heard about the French photographer Henri Cartier-Bresson.
Oh yes, Roby has told us a lot about him.
Okay. So
you knew him?
No, but he happened to be there on the day I came for the darshan. He took all the photographs.
Yes.
And I was caught in one of his photos.
Oh, I see.
See, mother used to stand on the balcony behind the ashram, and people used to gather on the street to have the mother's darshan.
Yes.
So I was standing there on the street, and this photographer, I didn't see him, but I thought, I heard his camera click by me. So he must have knelt to take a photo. So mother used to stand in the balcony like that.
This
photo was taken, I believe, on the same day by Cartier-Bresson.
1950.
1950.
And what is this photograph?
And this is me with other sadhus standing on the street looking at the mother.
And Cartier-Bresson took this picture. I see.
This is also 1950.
Yes, 24th of April. Photographed by Cartier-Bresson.
Wonderful.
Oh, thank you for showing us that.
So this copy got from Cartier-Bresson?
No, I got from the ashram, Department of Physical Education.
None
of that. I saw him, requested him. Kind enough to give me both.
When did you settle here?
1980. Oh, I first settled in 1952. 1950 was the first visit.
Yes.
Then second visit was in 1951.
Oh.
And then the third time, 1952, I came over finally and settled. 52 to 59.
52 to 59.
Then I went back to college for postgraduate studies,
mm-hmm.
59 to 61. And at the end of 51, I got married. And then came here to see Mother, get her blessings in 62, January.
Mm-hmm.
That was when I saw her last. And I returned to East Africa, where I came from.
Oh.
And then went to the States. I was in the States for about 21 years.
I see.
64 to 85. In 86, I returned here. And since then, I'm here.
I see. What was your work in America?
I was a psychologist.
Psychologist. At what? Private practice?
No, this was outpatient mental health care.
Mm-hmm.
Both training. First 4 years I was in training, and then I took up a job.
You've written a number of books on the integral yoga. They are very much appreciated. When did you first begin writing?
I started in, I think, 1985, my last year, mm-hmm. in the U.S. I did my first compilation, Living Within. I finished it there and sent the manuscript to the ashram before I myself came here in 86.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
How many books have you written?
There are 14 compilations.
14.
And four other books.
And four other.
Are you still compiling books?
I did my last one just a few months ago.
Oh.
It's in the press.
Oh, wonderful.
But you had such a lucrative career in USA as a psychologist. So what pulled you here to the ashram?
Well, my heart was here. I was just waiting for the time when I could free myself from the responsibilities there.
Mm-hmm.
Since I was married, had children.
Yes. Have any of your children come to the ashram?
Both of them have come. One of them comes every year.
Oh.
They live in the States? Or?
Yes, they were born there. They live in the States.
And your wife?
She's there. She's come here several times.
Mm-hmm.
She's also in the States?
Yes.
You go sometime to the States?
I did what?
Do you
visit? Oh yes, I went twice.
Oh, twice. Mm-hmm. And what sadhaks were you in correspondence with or close to in the ashram?
In correspondence, none.
None?
But I was close to this one sadhaka I mentioned to you, through whom I came.
Mm-hmm.
He also came from East Africa, from the same place where I was born and where I lived. His family, whole family is here. Probably you know Kumud Ben, who was
very well.
Looking after
your
mother's room.
Oh yes, know her very well.
That is his daughter.
That is his daughter.
Manibhai Patel.
Manibhai Patel.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was close to him.
I see. So he would send you things from the ashram?
Well, not directly, through my friend in Africa.
Oh, through your friend in Africa.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now tell us your experiences here in the earlier days when you first came. What was the ashram like? What was the atmosphere in Pondicherry like?
It was very conducive to the inner life. You know, centered, concentrated,
mm-hmm.
on sadhana as the main thing in life. Everything was conducive to that.
You have compiled so many books of Shivanando. So what, you are a psychologist, what similarity you found in your psychology line in Sundar writings?
Yoga Shrivindra said, is nothing but psychology. So Shrivindra's teachings are highly psychological. So my studies in psychology helped me to present the psychological teachings in Shrivindra as they would be understood and accepted by the modern reader.
And have they been accepted, do you feel, in the West?
From the sale of the books, I would say that. Because they are among the best sellers.
Are they published in the West also, or do they?
They are printed here.
Printed here.
And distributed.
I see.
At present, also, the distributor has become the publisher. In other words, instead of buying from the ashram, he himself prints the books at the Ashram Press and distributes them. Santosh Krinsky.
Oh, I know. Yes, and I've had correspondence with Santosh Krinsky, yes. Tell us a little bit about your contact with Mother. Did you see her often?
We saw her every day. Several times a day, in fact. We used to go to her in the morning, give her flowers, dresses. In the evening, we saw her at the playground. But apart from these contacts, I had a few interviews with her.
Oh. Anything you can share with us to illuminate us?
To ask her personal questions. Difficult is in Sanana mainly.
In Sanana.
Nothing about work. It is all about Sanana.
One person, Sampran, who is a scholar in Shrivindra society, he spoke to us about Shrivindra's unique contribution in Sanskrit language. So, likewise, if I ask you, what is the unique contribution of Shrivindra in psychology? What would you say?
My contribution?
Sri Aurobindo's contribution in psychology.
In your research.
Well, he has presented what he calls a greater psychology. The title of one of my books is A Greater Psychology. It has two parts. First part is a compilation of Sri Aurobindo's writings. Second part is my essays, giving an exposition of the contents. So, a greater psychology is a synthetic psychology. It integrates all the views, all the different psychological views.
So you find a lot of similarity in your psychological researches, which Shrivindra has seen in his yogic perception of.
Yeah, he's one of the few yogis who was interested in psychology and read books on psychology.
Can you give us a little bit more about your research in psychology apropos of Sri Aurobindo's writings?
Well, Sri Aurobindo's writings provide the framework in which one can fit all the different parts, all the different schools of psychology. So, Freud and Jung and Adler, they all seem to differ because they did present particular viewpoints. But Sri Aurobindo, in Sri Aurobindo's framework, they can all be fitted.
I see.
And you can see the whole picture.
I see. And has the Western psychological mind turned a little bit more towards Sri Aurobindo's vision?
Western psychology has been developing along those lines, as I've shown in one of my books, and as Sri Aurobindo has also indicated, which I got from Sri Aurobindo, that they started with a superficial view of man as an animal, studying reflexive action, just as an animal acts. That was a surface view. The earlier schools of psychology, the introspective school, as it was called, was very superficial. And then came a deeper view, what is called depth psychology, the psychology of Freud and Jung, which looks below the surface, the subconscious, the unconscious, as they call it. And then a further development was looking at the heights, going above, and looking at something which is transpersonal, beyond and greater than man. That is the latest school of psychology. It's called transpersonal psychology.
And who are the foremost?
Abraham Maslow. Sutich. Who is the author of Psychosynthesis? Assagioli. Those are some of the foremost.
How close are they getting to Sri Aurobindo's vision?
Somewhat close, not quite. They are still narrow compared to Sri Aurobindo, but they are much broader than the earlier schools, the behavioral school and the depth school.
And from an evolutionary perspective, do they see the advent of a higher man?
That is what is lacking still in Western psychology. They have the view of one life, and the human being, regard him as spiritual, more than mind, but he's still confined to one life.
I see.
Not evolving from life to life.
I see.
So the concept of evolution through rebirth is still absent in Western psychology as a whole. There are a few who believe in that, but very few.
Have you met many people in the U.S. whom you would consider sadhaks or of some greater realization in your work of psychology?
I met a few not realized persons, but people who are searching, who are seekers.
Yes.
Along the spiritual path. In fact, I gathered some of them. I was the director of a clinic in Oregon.
In Oregon.
And I started a training program in transpersonal psychology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the States, after getting one's PhD, one has to do an internship for practical experience in order to be licensed. So I started an internship program for people interested in transpersonal psychology. And quite a few came from different parts of America. There was a choice. Those were spiritual leanings. And some of them took an interest in Sri Aurobindo also.
Any persons we might know? Did you have contact with Esalen University? Esalen Institute, sorry.
I visited once, but I had no contact here.
Any centers of Sri Aurobindo that you visited?
There is one, Mata Giri, of course, that I visited.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one in California. Forget the name of the center.
East-West Cultural Center? Or
that I visited several
and
times.
Then there was Haridas Chaudhry's.
That's the same.
No, he was in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And Jyoti Priya was in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's right. I was at both.
Oh, you were at both. I see. So you met Haridas. Did you meet Jyoti Priya?
I think I met Jyoti Priya. I don't remember. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I visited her center.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another place in, I think it's in California.
There is now Sri Aurobindo Center in Culver City with Ani. There is Aptos, California.
No.
Mm.
This one is not too far from San Francisco.
Oh.
So I was invited there to give a talk.
Uh-huh. And what prominent people have you met that we might know in the West, who have some slight leaning towards Sri Aurobindo?
I don't remember anyone.
Mm-hmm. When
I met one psychologist, Brandt Cartwright.
Hmm.
Brandt Cartwright. He's at the Haridas Chaudhry's Institute. He's the head of the counseling department.
Ah.
A psychologist. I met him. He has come here more than once.
Who did you meet in the ashram? Did you meet Purani? Nolini?
Yes, Purani, Nolini, Anil Balan. I attended their classes. Not that he didn't conduct any class, but I met him personally.
Mm-hmm.
This was during the years, early years, 52 to 59.
And do you recall Amrita and
Amrita
Pavitra?
Very well.
Very well.
Amrita, he was the manager. All practical things we had to go to him to cash, traveler's check. I had to go to him once and write mother's name. I cashed the check through the ashram, so naturally I had to put the mother's name. Mother was in charge of everything.
Yes. Did mother give you any specific guidance that you can share with us?
Well, one practical thing she taught me, I was having a problem with my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And she taught me about palming.
Palming.
How to relax the eyes through palming and mental relaxation.
Mental relaxation?
Mental relaxation while palming.
While palming.
Yeah.
These things are very important for people who are seeking, especially younger people.
Mm-hmm.
What can you say to the youth of today from your long experience in psychology and contact with Sri Aurobindo and Mother?
Growth, learning and growth is the main aim in life. Not to regard life as a search for happiness or getting maximum pleasure. regard life as a field of learning and growth.
As a field of learning and growth. And amid all the distractions of the modern world.
Yeah, one has to find a center. So that's the most important thing, to be anchored in a center.
If one wants to do this yoga from your psychological research point of view, and in connection with Shambhavi Yoga, how one should go about
it? How one should?
Go about it. How does one proceed when one is young, especially?
Well, one always starts with the mind. The mind is the leader. So study. Study the teachings.
You have written on the psychic being. Can you share some thoughts on the opening of the psychic being?
Mother and Sri Aurobindo said that it's through aspiration, aspiration for progress, for spiritual progress, and the will for progress. These are the most powerful things for opening the psychic.
Did you do any physical education while you were here? Any sports?
I took part in the playground, physical marching.
Mm-hmm. And what about the arts, music, painting, dance, aesthetics? Any interest?
I was keenly interested and still am in music, but not in an active way, not singing myself, but simply listening. What? All these are related to our inner being. So when the inner being opens, one gets interested in these things, in the arts, in philosophy, in religion, related to the inner being.
What kind of music especially is close to you?
I like best Rabindra Sangeet. Tagore's.
I see.
And I like other devotional music also.
Mm-hmm. And what is your life like now at Kier? I imagine it's contemplative.
Well, see, work is of two kinds. There is the inner work and the outer work. My outer work is becoming less and less.
Mm-hmm.
The physical body is not able to do much. But I try to do whatever I can.
Yes.
The inner work is endless. Until the last breath, the inner work goes on. So it's concentrating more now on the inner work.
How come you were in the field of homeopathy science?
How? I was interested. I had problem with my eyes. Nothing could help me except homeopathy. So I got interested in studying it.
Mm.
I studied it and then practiced it. I was at Treasure Nursing Home and I returned from the States in 86. From 86 till 2006 I came here. For 20 years I practiced homeopathy at the Treasure Nursing Home.
And what is your view about homeopathy science? As far as
the other sciences, Ayurvedic, allopathic?
Each has its own merits and limitations. I think homeopathy has much to offer, and it comes closer in philosophy to Sri Aurobindo, because according to homeopathy, medicines act on prana, on the vital force. They stimulate the vital force. And so they don't act directly on the body, but on the vital force. And through that, changes are brought about, not only in the body, but also in the mind.
If I ask you what are your most memorable moments with Ashram Sadhak's mother and Shivindu?
Shivindu had only one darshan, so I think with the mother, those are too personal to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Anything would you like to share with others, if there is something you can, which can inspire the youngsters?
Once when I was going to Shivindu, or to the mother, in the morning darshan, when she used to give flowers to everybody,
mm-hmm.
she was in a kind of a semi-trance, looking down and just giving flowers like that. And when I was approaching her, a wave of intense aspiration rose up within me. I think that was the only time, perhaps, otherwise we went just mechanically to give, to receive whatever she could give us. But at that time, there was this welling up of aspiration. And she stopped for a moment, even though she was looking down, she stopped for a moment and looked up. In other words, she recognized me and gave me a flower with the pressure. I think as I passed by, tears came out of my eyes. That was a very great experience.
Beautiful experience. Did you know Purani?
Very well. I used to attend his classes.
Did you meet him in the U.S.?
No, not in the U.S.
Uh-huh.
I met Madhav Pandit in the U.S.
Oh.
And I hear of him.
When you had Shivindu darshan first time, so what was your impression?
At that time, I was having difficulty with my eyes. I don't think I wore my glasses, so I don't think I saw him very clearly. But perhaps I didn't place too much importance on the outer perception.
Of course, many say that what's important is that he saw you.
That's right.
What are the changes that you see the ashram in 50s, no, earlier years, and now?
It is less intense now. The atmosphere is still there, especially around the samadhi. But people are less intense, more social.
Have you been to Auroville?
Yeah, several times.
And the Matrimandya chamber?
Yeah, several times.
What did you feel in Auroville?
There is peace there.
And in the chamber?
Chamber, yes. One can experience the peace more intensely. A relative of mine, cousin of mine, I don't know if you know him, he was one of the leading members in Auroville. Yusuf.
Yusuf, I remember very well.
Well,
he used to play tennis.
Uh-huh.
He was a tennis player.
I see.
Yes.
So,
and lived in Certitude.
He came here through me.
Oh.
I had started the Shirabindu Center in East Africa with mother's permission. And he used to come to the center. That's how he came to know about the ashram.
I see.
Well, is there relics over there, South Africa?
No relics. But mother gave us a symbol. Mother gave me a symbol for use of the center.
Now, who is looking after that?
It is still gone. Nobody is running it. After me, there was Louis Allen. I don't know him.
I know Louis. I knew Louis very well.
Okay. He ran the center.
Yes.
He came away just a year following. And then a student of mine was in the center for a while. And after he left for England, I think it was Santa Claus.
Can you largely buy here also from South Africa?
Largely by Hindocha.
Yes, Hindocha, yes.
Yeah, he was also from East Africa.
Yes.
I knew him here, yes. Not very closely, but we met. Mm-hmm.
Do you have many people coming to see you now at CARE?
Not many, I discourage them.
Ah, I see.
Easily tired. Meeting people is a strain.
It is a strain, yes.
So how do you spend your time here in CARE?
Body takes up a good deal of the time. Eating, resting, exercising.
Still you do a lot of readings and...
Not a lot, but I do whatever I can.
And still doing compilations?
Compilation, I have stopped now for the present.
Oh, you stopped.
I may start something else. Some short writings.
Mm-hmm. Are you able to go to the samadhi? Do they take you at times?
Yes, I go on my own. I go
on your own. Okay. Well, you will remember that I first met you with my beloved friend Aurobindo Basu.
Yeah, I remember.
Can you tell us a little about him?
Well, I had only a few contacts with him, but what impressed me was that. Even though he was a philosopher towards the end of his life, he lost interest in philosophy. He was more interested in sadhana. In fact, I was surprised when he once told me that he has not read the full of Life Divine even. So I felt in good company because I have not read the full of Life Divine.
What is the possibility you see that the intensity and the concentration which was more in the earlier period in ashram, on sadhana, that can come back or it will, as it is gradually happening now, it will continue like this?
It seems that can happen only when they come back. When there is somebody in a physical body. Otherwise, they are there in the atmosphere to help, but I don't think there can be the intensity without the physical presence.
Dr. Dalal, we're very grateful that you allowed us to visit with you, and thank you for your words.